Service Corporation, Mr. Lang.
Good morning, judges. My name is Attorney Stephen Lang. I'm a lawyer in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts and admitted to the Northern District. Your Honor, this appeal is about tolling the statute limitation. The district court, we're asking that the district court's decision be reversed and amended back to the district court. The district court overlooked some pleadings which caused summary judgment to be inappropriate at this time. Furthermore, equity told the statute of limitations. Therefore, summary judgment on the plaintiff's ADA claim is erroneous. Your Honor, also that technicalities should comply with the purpose of the law, and where they do not, equity applies. Similar to corporations, when they defer to the business judgment rule, Your Honor, sometimes they're limited when, like on constraints on contracts, where someone signs a contract that is that jeopardizes their safety. That's when equity would step in here to toll the statute of limitations, just as in that type of case, Your Honor.
Mr. Lang?
Yes.
Here's the problem. When New Age filed its affirmative defenses, noting that Ms. Porter had not yet exhausted her administrative remedies, there still was time remaining in which she could have filed an EEOC charge. And that's what weighs against your request for equitable tolling.
Yes, yes, Judge. And, Judge, in that issue right there, that's the issue of material fact, which the court never got to, Your Honor. And that's part of our argument, is that's the issue of material fact, because New Age Services claimed that they put her on notice in their answer, and
they did, didn't they?
Well, that notice to an administrative, that notice that an administrative remedies hadn't been exhausted to a layperson, Your Honor, is that sufficient to give notice to a layperson?
Sure.
At that particular point,
sure it is.
We would consider it an issue of material fact, Your Honor, that hadn't been addressed.
Look,
the court never addressed
it. Even though she was initially representing herself at the time she engaged counsel, there was still time left to file a charge with the EEOC. So a review of New Age's answer, you know, would have immediately revealed the exhaustion problem. So I just am having great difficulty trying to understand why it's unreasonable to expect her to have timely filed the EEOC charge.
Well, Your Honor, not only the filing of the EEOC charge, Your Honor, also the point that the court never addressed the issue, as she raised the issue in the response to the summary judgment motion, and the court never addressed the issue of whether equity told the statute when she filed her claim with the district court. If equity told the statute when she filed her claim with the district court, then she would be allowed more time to file with the EEOC, and it wouldn't abridge the statute. It wouldn't abridge the statute because we're just asking for time to file, to comply with the administrative remedy. And the problem is that New Age Services sat on the complaint all of the time, and they could have gave her a clear notice, and at that particular time, so they weren't interested in arbitrating with the EEOC, or they weren't interested in reconciliation.
That's just simply not correct. Forgive me, but it's not correct. New Age notified her shortly after she filed suit that she needed to exhaust her administrative remedies. And, you know, look, it's a private employer with fewer than 50 employees.
Okay, and Your
Honor, they're exempt from the requirements of the Family and Medical Leave Act.
Your Honor, we also would like to bring up the point that, you know, the United States Court and this district court have said that Legislation like the ADA legislation is a humanitarian legislation, and that type of legislation shouldn't be held to hyper-technical criticism, because it's a humanitarian legislation, and that was in Stearns versus Consolidated Management. So, furthermore, it is particularly inappropriate to undermine the effectiveness of these statutes by dismissing claims merely because the victim of alleged discrimination failed to comply with the intricate technicalities of the statute. And that's Love versus Pullman Company, Your Honor. So the United States Court, the district courts, have a consensus that equity would toll the statute, Your Honor, even though, as Your Honor has pointed out, that she still had time to file. But considering that it was a humanitarian legislation, just like when you put constraints on contracts, the equity would step in and allow her to continue her complaint, because...
Can you just tell me what your authority is for the novel proposition that a litigant who has counsel can use equitable tolling to disregard Congress's goal in all of this of conciliating before litigation, before running into a court? Because I can't find any.
Well, Your Honor, my authority on this would be Love versus Pullman, the United States Court, 5225, specifically pinpointed on 527, Your Honor, where the court has said that because this legislation was meant to combat discrimination, that it would be inappropriate for the court to undermine the effectiveness by holding it to intricate details or hyper-technicalities. And the technicalities should comply with the purpose of the law. And also, Your Honor, when we discern the purpose of Congress, the purpose of the legislation or what Congress meant, well, then we're talking about a multi-body, a bilateral camera Congress, a multi-body. And, you know, we're looking at purposivism. And if what was the purpose of all of them? I'm sure there was some concessions, you know, between Congress at that time on what they really wanted to do. And one of those concessions was that, you know, the technicalities should comply with the purpose of the law.
If we agreed with you, I cannot imagine what the caseloads would look like. And any attorney who simply paid no attention to the law would be in here asking us for equitable relief. This is a very sad case. But
Your Honor, I see that my time is run. I'd like to reserve some for the rebuttal.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Charlotte. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Lang. My mistake. Mr. Harding?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court? There is no dispute that Ms. Porter failed to meet the 300-day EEOC deadline. So the only issue before this court is whether Ms. Porter's filing of her ADA complaint in the district court equitably tolled the EEOC filing period. So we're dealing with an equitable issue. And I would submit that based on these facts, there is no reason for this court to exercise its equitable powers. The only reason to exercise equitable powers would be if this court were trying to right a wrong or to prevent an injustice. Here, there has been no wrong. There has been no injustice. And to the extent that Ms. Porter contends that there has been, it was self-inflicted. Now, the facts here are clear. Ms. Porter filed a complaint in court. New Age Services Corporation and Mr. Wadford answered that complaint and included affirmative defenses, one of which was that she failed to exhaust her administrative remedies, so she had notice. And thereafter, she hired counsel. All of this was done within the 300-day period to file with the EEOC. Therefore, for her not to have filed within that period of time, it can be nothing other than her own lack of diligence. And this court has repeatedly held that tolling will not apply where the plaintiff has not been diligent. Now, her contention that the filing of her complaint in the district court tolled the EEOC filing period simply does not have merit. In our brief, we cite a string of cases that hold that you cannot file in court and expect that to toll the EEOC filing period. Conversely, Ms. Porter hasn't cited any cases that support the proposition that they're asserting here today. And the cases that are referenced in the brief are totally irrelevant. Furthermore, I may add that exhaustion is a condition precedent to filing suit in court. The whole point is to give the EEOC an opportunity to conciliate. So failure to give the EEOC that opportunity here would turn the administrative process on its head. For these reasons and the others cited in our brief, we would ask that this court affirm summary judgment.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Harding. Mr. Lang, do you have anything further?
Yes. Your Honor, we would ask the court to consider the fact that when she hired counsel, it was the end of July, and the statute was told. The statute had already run on August 2nd, and she did diligently file with the EEOC and receive a letter. And the diligence is shown when she filed.
She had 2 weeks left when she...
Yes, Your Honor. She had 2 weeks left. And by the time we found out about it, we filed with the EEOC. But the problem is that she diligently pursued her claim, Your Honor. And in Morgan versus Washington Manufacturing, Your Honor, the plaintiff wrote a letter to the president, and that letter was sent back to the Labor Department before it got to the EEOC, and the court found that the statute was told. Here, the statute should be told because they were put on notice of the complaint, Your Honor, and they was given a copy of the complaint, yet they settled on the complaint to run the statute. It's my understanding that we now have motions to dismiss. We have all kind of motions so that we don't ambush our clients. We put everything on the table. That's what we have summary judgment for. Summary judgment is inappropriate when material issues of fact are still unaddressed. And there's a material issue of fact as to was she was diligent or was she given notice sufficient as a layperson at that particular time. And if the EEOC wanted to reconcile, they had plenty of, if the appellee wanted to reconcile, they had plenty of time to bring it up and say, file a motion to dismiss and reconcile it with the EEOC, but they never wanted to reconcile. They wanted the time to run so that they could ambush the client. And at that particular time, with 2 weeks in, we came in and went through the records, and we made an effort to file, and we believe this equity would toll the statute in this particular situation. And that, with all of that said, Your Honor, I would ask that.
Your time has expired, Mr. Ryan.
Thank you. Thank you, Judge.
So thank you to both counsel. Next case for argument, United States versus.